It's Rider Club Radio with your hosts, Jeff and Liam.
Hey.
We're doing a new thing. It's actually the exact same thing. Nothing in this episode is going to be any different.
It's a new thing where Jeff tries to sound like a game show host when he introduces the show.
Liam, come on down! This week we watched Kamen Rider X8 Episode 10. Yay! Yeah! And Jurojur Episode 41. Yay! And we also watched the Heart and Mock movie. And
boo! I quit. I quit the podcast.
That's good.
I can't bear to be in this room anymore.
It's good that it was in the fucking beginning, so we didn't have to do it this time before you quit.
Yeah, okay, good night, everyone.
Liam, why don't you tell us what happened? Oh, I guess the podcast is over.
Okay, I'll tell you what happened on X8. I'll do one more episode, and then I'm fucking out.
God, just put me out of my fucking misery.
Okay. So, if you remember last time, Graphite, he's so feisty, he started spreading the disease all over Tokyo, all over Neo, whatever town it is.
What kind of description is that? He's so feisty.
He's feeling frisky today, so he starts spreading a deadly virus all over the city. Killing millions in the process.
Sometimes when people feel frisky, they do spread a deadly virus.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. God damn, you are on point. We're not even 2 minutes in.
Continue with your description.
Okay. So he starts spreading the deadly virus around, and it's infecting thousands. It's a big crisis. Everyone's getting infected. And Emu's upset that he can't compile the team. He can't get everyone together to do the little... to beat Graphite all together as a team. And no one can beat Graphite either. They all go after him. There's a kind of an awkward cut to a fight scene, and everyone's fighting him. But no one can take him on. Graphite
fucking punks out everybody like he's the biggest kid on the playground, and ain't nobody doing shit about it.
It's 3-on-1, and he absolutely trounces them. No one can do anything.
Graphite's the kid that got held back 3 grades. You can't fight that.
Graphite's the kid whose Beyblade had the huge metal ring. Fuck up, like some Chinese unofficial shit.
Jesus Christ.
So he's,
Liam,
he's,
you're dating yourself and coming out as the biggest fucking loser.
You know, I came out as the biggest fucking loser when I started doing this podcast, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's wrecking folks left, right, and center, Graphite. Emu decides to hatch a cunning plan where he calls up every other rider and says, "Hey, I've decided I've lost my resolve, and I'll give you guys I'll give you guys Drago Knight Hunter."
Well, first off, he apologizes, and tries to act like a rational human being, and they're not having any of that shit.
Yeah. So he says, "You know what? Alright, you want to play games? Let's play games, motherfuckers." He calls them, and he says, "Hey, each one individually, secretly, he says, I'll give you the Gashat. Meet me at the abandoned wharf at 3 p.m. So they all come down to the wharf. And they're all like, "You said you'd give us the Gashat," and he's like, "I'll give you the Gashat if you can beat me." And then things get a little fuzzy. He fights them. He fights all of them, and then they knock the dragon out, and then they knock the dragon, and it makes 4 Gashats.
And then they shoot their final abilities into the dragon, and then that gives the dragon like all the powers of them, so that it can make multiple Gashats. Look, quit asking fucking questions.
Okay, I don't know. I think, I don't know,
look,
okay.
It makes perfect sense if you don't have dumb brain syndrome.
It makes perfect sense if you're the writer and you know what's going on, but you didn't write it down for anyone else.
Which I'm totally not, by the way.
Totally.
I'm not the writer at all.
Absolutely not. So, the
completely unrelated, but this is the best episode of any show ever.
Fuck off. This... The Gashat splits into 4, and they like idiots, they all go along with Emu's plan. Emu's like, "Yeah, I'll give, well, let's hunt, let's go after, we'll play Monster Hunter, and we'll hunt Graphite. And whoever gets the final blow on Graphite, you get the Gashat, you're the winner." So they're like, "Okay, let's do it." I'm sure he's telling the truth. So they all go, they 4-on-1 Graphite, they're all level 5, they absolutely wreck him. But they all finish him at the exact same second. They do a big final attack, and it hits them all at once.
Cop out.
cop out. So they all argue over who got the last hit, but they don't come to a conclusion. So Emma says, you know, I'll just keep it. And they all leave all pissed off at each other and angry. And that's it. So Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider X8 number 10?
It was alright. The like, all of them killing Graphite, actually it was better than alright. I actually love everything about this episode except the cop-out with killing Graphite. Because I feel like this episode was an excellent showcase of Emu's character and how it differs from other Kamen Rider characters. Could you imagine any other Kamen Rider protagonist pulling this shit where he tricks everyone else in the fucking show into doing exactly what he wants using nothing but guile?
As much as I love that, as much as I love his whole, like, you know, on one side he's a nice guy, and on the other side he's a absolutely ruthless gamer who will get whatever, he'll do whatever it takes to win, the logistics of his plan completely fall apart if you think about them for more than 2 seconds.
They're baffling. And I would love to say that that's unimportant, but it is important.
It's not as
important as the way his character is developing and the way it's showcased in this episode, or the fact that it's setting up a goal for him throughout the rest of the series, which is create a trusting relationship with the other doctors. But the point of this whole thing was that he was clever and he came up with this cool plan, but the plan doesn't make any fucking sense and it works anyway.
Look, I get his whole thing where, I'm with him, it's a journey, okay? I'm with him, he calls all the riders together. He says, I'll give you the Gashat if you can beat me. They beat him up, but then he says, just kidding, I'll give you the Gashat if you can beat, if whoever beats fucking Graphite.
The thing is, they all grab the Gashats or whatever, and they think that they have it, it's theirs now. They have the fucking, there's four of them now. They don't know they're fake. Because when they disappear at the end, they're all like, "Buh!"
Oh, yeah, that's true. But how did Emu know that when they all attacked the whatever dragon, that it was going to split into four?
I don't know. How did he know how to use all the shit to begin with when he got the Gashat the first time?
Well, actually, I rewatched the first episode recently, and when he first puts the gamer driver on, there's a couple shots. They only last a couple seconds. I missed them the first time. But there are a couple shots where Emu just toys around with the belt and hits buttons and shit, and he actually activates level select really briefly and then closes it. It's a really neat little thing where he's like, oh, this does this, cool. This does this, okay, I got it all on lockdown. There's nothing like that with Dragonite Hunter.
I think I commented on that in the first episode as well, that he just tries out the buttons. He says, like, I don't need a fucking manual or whatever. I'm a gamer, and he just tries out the buttons.
He's got the true soul.
I loved that.
I have no fucking idea what he was doing with Dragonite Hunter or what happened. I think that was just a case of the toy politics being imposed on the show.
Yeah, the thing about that is, as well, is that I've been thinking about the logistics of how the fuck there's going to be a four-player Gashat since they started talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a week or so now. I've just been thinking, like, how in the fuck is that even going to work? It's one Gashat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do they make more of them? Why didn't it make more of them when they were all next to each other anyway? Do you have to do the same poses? And it turns out you gotta trick some motherfuckers into firing on it.
You have to have it come out and have four people attack it at once. I don't know. If they had just, like, I love, like you said before, the plan is great. What it reveals about Emu's character is great. The fact that they all got all the riders to team up just once, really reluctantly, and they still hate each other, I loved that.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent.
I just, that one detail of, like, how the fuck did Emu know how to do that? Maybe they'll explain it next week.
That apparently bugged you a lot more than it bugged me.
I guess so.
I feel like it's a plot hole that does a disservice to this episode, but there's so much good in this episode. For instance,
okay,
the fact that Emu's main goal is revealed in this episode, besides, you know, save the patients, it's to build a relationship with the other doctors, and who gives him that main goal, but the reason he became a doctor to begin with, his mentor character.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
His name I don't remember. Kyotaro.
Dr. Man.
Kyotaro.
Dr. Katz.
Dr. Katz, MD. Tells him. But yeah, it's a. I as much as I like that, his goal is to unite the doctors. This means that none of them probably means that none of them will die, which makes me a little sad.
Well, we have an email. question about that later.
Okay, I'll stay off it then.
So don't be fucking talking about that shit.
I'm not going to jump ahead of myself, okay?
This episode was great, man. Did you not think so?
Well, other than my gripe about that logistics, I thought it was fine. A little too much fighting, but I could deal with that. I feel like the scene where all of the riders fight Graphite and they get beaten off, I felt like that was a little unnecessary.
They get beaten off?
They get beaten off by Graphite. It's a really R-rated scene. I felt like that was a little unnecessary. Like, we already know how tough Graphite is. It's just, it's one of those rider fight scenes where they just put him there. But
I felt like it was somewhat necessary for the three characters to be in the same place for Emu to show up and talk to them. I feel like maybe it probably lasted a minute or two too long for that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this show has a way of, like, cheating to get characters into the same room so they can start doing shit.
And that bugs the shit out of you.
I don't know. It's just like a writing quirk that the writer has, and it's not a huge, like I said, it's not a huge flaw in the show, but it always, every time it happens, I'm like,
You know, for some reason it doesn't bother me that much, but if I was watching, like, I don't know, like a Justice League episode, and it started out with, like, Superman and Batman just hanging out in the Watchtower, and Superman was like, so, Batman, how do you feel about this, the World Series? How do you feel about the Cubs winning? And Batman's like, oh, you know, I'm indifferent. And then it cut to, like, Wonder Woman and the Flash fighting, like, a fucking alien invasion on the planet Earth. That would be really jarring. But for some reason, it doesn't bug me in this show.
It jarred me a little bit here. I don't know. Other than that, I liked it.
It was a little bit like we now joined the episode still in progress.
Yeah. If this was, like, one episode, this episode and the last episode was one episode, that'd feel a lot more natural. But it feels like this one, the action, like, you're just in a normal scene, and it's like, bam, there's fighting in the middle of nowhere. But like you said, they get them all in the same room and have Emu try to convince them. I understand the point of the scene from a storytelling perspective. It just felt, it felt a little screwed in there.
It was awkward.
Yeah.
Awkwardly placed.
A little awkward.
I don't know, man. I'm much more prone to just giving a hand wave to that. Like, they had to have a fight scene here. It's a pretty cool fight scene. That's fine.
It was a fine fight scene. It was a fine fight scene.
It was no Space Sheriff Gavon fight scene.
No, absolutely not.
It was no Animal Sentai Juojir fight scene.
Absolutely. It was no Kamen Rider Ghost Ganmizer fight scene, but it was fine. This episode was good, though. Other than that, all my gripes, this episode was good.
I really, really like Emu's character, and I thought there was going to be a little bit of ruination for his character in this episode when he just starts crying on a rooftop. I was like, don't do this, man. You don't need to be this character.
I
felt his motivation in that scene, at least.
He's got two sides to him. He's got Emu, who's the sensitive, wants to save the patient guy, and he's got the genius gamer M, who wants to win the fucking video game.
And he tricks the shit. He's wily.
Yeah.
Wily Emu.
Super genius.
Super genius.
But yeah, this episode's great. It's not often that they bring out his personality as the genius gamer M. And he does something outside of the suit that's like that. That's really devious like that, or really, yeah, like, forward.
I mean, even Poppy Pap Smear says, like, he doesn't normally...
You already made a Pap Smear joke about Poppy. Make a different one. Right now. On the spot. Go. 3, 2, 1.
Poppy Penis.
Thank you. Continue.
That was the weakest by far.
It was the most obvious. We got it out of the way.
Poppy Pringles can.
Okay.
She says outright, like, he's in gaming mode or whatever, but he hasn't even transformed.
Yeah. They tell you so the little kids can know.
Yeah, so I can know. I was like, what's happening in this scene? Why isn't anyone fighting?
I'm mostly, like, in a brain-dead haze when I watch Kamen Rider, and I need the characters to tell me what's happening.
That's most of the fan base. But... I'm just saying shit. You're all tuning in, and I'm just saying shit.
Are we done talking about
this? This is a really good episode, though. I don't see your problems with it mattering that much.
I have similar
problems, but, you know, nothing's perfect.
We have the same problems with it. They bug me more than they bug you.
Yeah.
That's the lowdown.
Because I'm a smart man, and well, you're like the village idiot.
I mean, that part's debatable, but we'll save that for another day.
Tune in next time on Writer Club Radio for the ultimate debate. Is Liam the village idiot?
I don't know. Are we ready for news, speaking of village idiots?
Speaking of village idiots, yeah, go ahead.
Here's something cool. Kamen Rider Genmu is getting a spinoff V cinema series to YouTube coming in January.
Wouldn't anything about him, like, ruin the surprise of, like, what he's up to, or...
Well, here's the thing. It's just some side story shit with Legend Rider forms. That's what it is. So, it's not gonna matter.
Genmu is doing the Legend Rider forms?
Yep. Kamen Rider Genmu Part 1 Legend Rider Stage starts in January. It's gonna have... I think it starts with Drive and Gaim, and Genmu is gonna have Wizard. X8's gonna have Gaim and Drive, Genmu's gonna have Wizard. That's what they're doing. Genmu, rather, is gonna have Wizard. That's what they're doing. But later on, this is even cooler, they're doing other episodes that have actual Namco games as the Gashats. Yeah, Amu gets fucking Pac-Man. Brave gets Family Stadium, which is something I've never fucking heard of.
No, me neither.
But Snipe gets Xevious as his
form.
Oh,
that's awesome!
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Dude, that's cool. The weird... I just want to say that there's, like, a weird writer thing going on with Genmu, where, like, this dude created Kamen Rider X8, and he's like, man, this is pretty cool, but what if I made him, like, Dark X8? Wow, this is way cooler. I'm just gonna put him in everything. Fuck this other character. Otherwise known as Keiji Inafune Syndrome.
Oh, no, with Zero.
Yeah, fucking Mega Man X is alright, but Zero's got a sword. I'm gonna put him in everything.
Still blows my mind, sidebar, to this day, that Marvel vs. Capcom 3 has Zero in it and Tron Bond, but not Mega Man. That's, tells you a lot about Capcom.
Yeah, it really does. Keiji Inafune is like, let's just put Zero in this instead of Mega Man. What? There's no Mega Man. Who cares? What? I'm fired? Give me money.
He even made Zero in Mighty Number 9. He made a Zero ripoff.
He sure did. As DLC, even.
It's double evil. I have Mighty Number 9 sitting on my Steam account, staring me in the face every time I open it up.
I played 22 minutes of Mighty Number 9.
And that was enough.
I tell you, that was actually very difficult to play 22 minutes of Mighty Number 9, because it will only stay playing for about 3 minutes before it crashes.
Oh, well.
And I wrote in a little thing asking for, like, a bug fix, and they said they'd get back to me.
I assume they never got back to you?
That was 7 months ago.
Oh my god.
So thanks, Keiji Inafune. Suck my fucking white dick.
Speaking of white dick, there's two more forms that I forgot to mention. There's... Tycho
One of them better be a big floppy penis, because your segues are getting on my nerves.
No, it's not. One of them is Taiko no Tatsujin, the one with the drum arcade game where you play a drum?
Oh, yeah.
One of them's that, and the other one is Ganba Rising. I don't know what the hell the Ganba Rising form is going to look like, but... Eh.
I don't know.
Every single rider ever mashed into a horrible Cthulhu beast.
Is Ganba Rising like the card game?
That's the arcade machine where you scan the cards.
Oh,
and then
maybe
they beat
it's a card form.
Maybe it'll be Decade.
Maybe it'll be bad.
It'll probably not look very good. Even the Pac-Man form is just a yellow Gekitotsu robots, and the Family Stadium form is just a red Don't Worry Me If I Beat. So don't expect too much out of any of them.
That sucks. Hey, speaking of Gekitotsu robots, I'm holding it in my hand right now. Thanks to friend of the show, Graham.
What? I got you that, Gashab.
No, thanks, Graham.
What? That was me. I bought it for you.
No, Graham did send us both packages, but Gekitotsu Robots is from Liam. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
There's something in the mail for you right now, too.
Oh, boy. I can't wait.
I wonder what it's going to be. I wonder if it's related in some way.
It'll probably be here next Christmas, because you got to ship to Canada, but I'm very excited.
We're in the same room, okay? Stop ruining the fucking... Don't break kayfabe.
Okay.
We're in the same room. I'm going to smack you.
Okay. Ah, that hurt. I'm going to hurt.
He's got that disease where like stuff doesn't travel to your brain fast enough. That's why there was a delay.
Yeah, it's called stupid ass stupid. It's called let's okay. So the Kamen Rider Decade is getting a new Blu-ray set, a new Blu-ray box set.
Awesome! Another Blu-ray box set for me to not buy.
And let's play a little game called guess how much the Blu-ray box set costs in
$200.
American dollars. Sorry.
$200.
Higher.
What?
Higher.
It's higher than what?
Higher than $200. You want to know how much it costs?
$400?
No. It costs... Ready?
Okay, that was terrible.
$300.
Well, at least it's not $400, I guess.
$300. Is this? I don't buy Blu-ray box sets of any shows, but if I go to the store, the Blu-ray store, and I buy like a Blu-ray box set of I don't know Breaking Bad or something, is that going to cost me $600 million, or is this just a Japan thing? Do you know?
I don't know. I've never bought a Blu-ray box set in my life, so
I'm not a sucker. I bought Gatchaman didn't cost nearly that much.
How much did that end up costing you?
Oh, it was like $100. It was not 300. And that's 100 Canadian.
Dude, you know there's this thing called the internet, right? Where you can just type shit in and get it for free?
Not gotcha, man. Trust me. Trust me. I tried.
That's anytime somebody's like, yeah, I got this Blu-ray box set of this show that's widely available, I'm like, man, you're making a mistake.
Damn, I got it for free. My friend
How much did you pay for it? I paid $0. I'm just kidding. Don't steal things. It's wrong.
Everything said on this podcast is a joke and does not represent the actions or views of Jeff or Liam or Rider Club Radio Incorporated.
I've definitely not downloaded millions of dollars worth of software and music in my life.
For sure. For sure not.
For sure not.
For sure not.
You know, technically, it's illegal that we're downloading these fucking television shows and talking about them on our podcast.
I don't think this is... Because they're not officially distributed here.
I don't think that matters.
Well.
It's a world economy now, man.
Breaking the fucking law.
Toei's gonna fucking take us to their Area 51 and sodomize us.
That's... Not again.
Not again!
I don't know about you, Jeff, but I travel to Japan each week to watch it on a TV and have a little Japanese boy there who translates it for me as we watch it.
His name is Hiroshi.
His name is, of course, Hiroshi.
As all Japanese children are. You have to turn 15 before you're allowed to have your own name.
I pay him in fish sausage, and then I fly back home.
Speaking of fish sausage, I don't know if I told this part on the podcast last time.
What?
But our friend Graham sent us fish sausages.
Yep.
And followed it up with a message, like, later that day. It was long enough time that I could have eaten all of them and died. That he didn't know if they were supposed to be refrigerated or not.
I think he did tell that last week. But it's still disgusting.
I'm so glad. They're actually still sitting on the table right here. So
yeah, I got mine too. I'm scared to touch them.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried that if I touch them, I'll get some sort of horrible fucking fish sausage disease.
Yeah, I think mine's starting to move.
Starting to crawl across the table like an inchworm.
It's gonna grow legs like the thing, and
oh god!
I got one last piece of news. It's a Super Sentai news, unfortunately, but
that's fine.
In the upcoming, there's an upcoming movie, Jiwoji vs. Ninja. You may have heard of it.
Nah.
No. No. Well, it's. I mean, all the info's in the title. an actor named Daisuke Shima, who, if you don't know, played Red Hawk or sorry, Red Falcon from Live Man. He's coming back. As a voice for that movie. He's just as a voice, but he's going to be back. I think that's neat.
Oh, fun fact that I learned, unrelated to any of this shit. We've been making jokes about how Gaku Sano isn't going to be in
the Heisei Generations.
Yeah, Heisei Generations. It turns out that he's actually doing his character's voice in that. Yeah. So,
they...
We're full of shit, and nothing else is new.
I thought the sound alike was good when I saw the trailer. I really thought for sure they weren't going to get him, but I was like, hey, he sounds kind of like him, but I guess it was him. The sound alike was good because the sound alike was him.
I didn't think it even sounded like him, so I'm way out of line here.
they went to Gakusano's mansion and they begged and pleaded, and he saw fit to only go to a studio. I'm not going to show my fucking face.
I can't be seen again in this show. I just can't be seen again.
He's a Yakuza now. You can't go back to Kamen Rider. He's following in old Joe Odagiri's footsteps.
Yeah, becoming a legitimate actor.
That's
the funny thing, is like so many actors like try as hard as they can to get out of like sci-fi, the shadow of sci-fi things they've done.
Yeah.
Man, fuck, sign me up for a lifetime of sci-fi shit. I'll be like... I'll be like the guy who played Worf, Michael Dorn. You throw me some fucking bucks, I'll show up in whatever. I don't care.
I just think for most actors, they don't want to just play the same roles over and over again, you know?
There's a dude who played a Vulcan on Voyager. His name's Tim Russ.
Mm.
And he loved Star Trek ever since he was a little tiny kid. And it was a dream come true to play Tuvok, the Vulcan.
Oh, fuck.
And so, no, Tuvok's good, fuck you. Tuvok, he's the only good thing on the show, besides, like, the Doctor, I guess.
Well, he's half of the only good thing on the show, that being Tuvix, but yeah, go on.
It's the only thing you know about Star Trek, isn't it?
That's true. It's literally the only thing I know about Star Trek is Tuvix.
But he loves Star Trek so much that he'll be in, like, fan productions for next to nothing, as long as he gets to play Tuvok.
That's fucked up.
He loves it. Like, he fucking loves it, dude. That'd be me.
That's approaching Shotaro levels.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll show up with a fucking cardboard cut out of Neelix and transform together.
Oh, that's good. I didn't make that connection. That's pretty
good. You know what's funny, though, is that they always show that picture of Shotaro standing next to the Philip cutout.
Yeah.
But that's from a fucking, like, press event. And there's a photo of Philip standing next to a Shotaro cutout.
Really?
Yeah. It's not like a sad thing that he was just posing with something.
I really did not know that. I thought it was from after the show.
Nope, there is an accompanying photo.
I'll be damned.
Yep. You learn something new every day on Rider Club Radio, if every day is once a week.
I wish we should start charging for this shit.
Yeah, that'll definitely not kill our fucking podcast immediately.
Go over fantastic, yeah. Might make $1 a year.
We only have like 200 and some listeners, 300 tops.
Yeah. Speaking of $1 a year, Super Sentai, what did you think about Jyoja this week, Jeff?
This episode of Jyoja was fucking action-packed, dude. Shit went south for everyone except Genis.
So for those of you who don't know, in this episode, Kubar tricks everyone. He makes clones of everybody, and he tricks everybody, and he gets everybody to fight Genis for him. But Genis knew about his plan and chases him off. It's a fantastic episode. The show is really starting to, like... It's one of those... It's that great Sentai thing towards the end where it just says fuck you to the episodic format and just starts chugging the words like a big finish. And this is kind of that for Jyoja. I love it.
Dude, I'm really glad that Genis transformed from his, like, giant chair monster.
Yeah, he's got the wings now and everything.
Yeah, he looks really fucking threatening.
He is.
He can actually move.
Yeah, he said, I can walk now, you're fucked. He kicks a lot of ass in this episode.
Yeah, he fucking ruins every monster the Jyoja's fought against and the Jyoja's at once.
And Kubar's plan is pretty clever, actually, very rock solid.
It really is. The only reason he doesn't get away with it is because Genis read the script or whatever, and he already knows.
Genis, I don't know, Genis fucking touched the triangle. Like, he's super strong.
The triangle, like, in a previous episode, Genis got fighting data from Cube Whale.
Yes.
And it was on a triangle thing. And that was a while ago, and we were like, well, what the fuck is he going to use that for? And
I totally forgot.
It turns out that he needs to be inside of that satellite thing.
Sagittariarch.
Which is a cool name.
This is an awesome name.
The Sagittariarch. He has to be inside of it to retain his full power, and Kubar's plan was to bring him down to Earth and fucking curb stomp him like the end of American History X.
that was a really brutal scene for the Super Sentai show. the teeth and the blood flying everywhere? My God.
But, And then Genesis is like, well, fuck you. I actually took this disc from Cube Whale because it lets me draw power from the Earth like Cube Whale can. So now I'm going to fucking wreck you. And he proceeds to.
He does so. One brilliant little thing that happens in this episode is, first off, Narya survives somehow being shot in the head. I don't know. She's fine.
I don't know. It's just one shot. Everybody in the show gets shot like 9 million times. So.
That's true. Maybe Death Galleon's brains are like in their left leg or something.
Well, you never know. Maybe their brains are right behind where the coin slot is.
Oh, maybe they don't have brains.
Maybe that's why they keep fucking losing the Juojus.
But anyways, he creates... This is brilliant. When Bungalay creates clones of Amu and Tusk for that one episode, they act exactly like Amu and Tusk because he creates them from memories of the Juojus who know them really well. Mm-hmm. But in this episode, he makes Misao from a memory of Narya who doesn't know him very well, and he doesn't act proper. Everyone's you're acting really, kind of weird, dude.
It was really clever.
It's this little hole in his plan that you notice, obviously, as a viewer. The Juojus don't because of plot, but like you as a viewer are like, that guy's fucking fake. And
the Juojus do. They're like, what? When he starts acting all like, we gotta kill him or whatever. But our hero, Yamato, is so caught up in the fact that he didn't save Misao earlier in the episode that he's willing to completely ignore that to help him now.
That's true. And it is their best chance. I'd do the same. If I was in Yamato's shoes.
It's, like, super not cool, but it is, like, a world-conquering monster, so who cares?
Play dirty, who gives a shit, yeah.
There's a great moment where, like, they're all listening to Kubar talk to Genesis, and Kubar's, like, going fucking, like, crazy. He's like, I've waited so long for this!
Yeah.
I fucking hate you, you subjugated my people! And they're like, oh my god, they subjugated his people? Oh my god. you hearing that, Leo? Yeah, no, Jesus.
It was Genesis, by the way. We predicted that it was Genesis who destroyed Kubar's homeland. Mm-hmm. It was. Not surprisingly.
He didn't destroy it, he subjugated it.
He subjugated it.
Or maybe he destroyed it, I don't know. That's not really revealed.
I remember vaguely, I recall Bungalay saying that, oh, Kubar, you know who it was who destroyed your planet. So maybe by destroyed he mean, like, just wrecked the whole economy and the people. Maybe he didn't mean blow it up. I don't know.
I almost made a political joke just then, but I'll refrain.
Stay away from it.
I'll refrain for now.
For now. Yeah, maybe he just means, like, he ruined your planet instead of blowing it up.
But Kubar's plan fails horribly.
Absolutely.
Because Genesis wrecks everyone's face, and then Genesis just takes control of three of the clones and makes them giant size and sends them to kill Kubar, and he doesn't even give a shit that it doesn't work. He's just like, ha ha ha, they're too big to get him, whatever. Destroy the city. Because he's Genesis. That's what he does. He just likes having fun.
Because why should he, like, you joke, but that's actually his motivation. He's on Earth for a giggle. And he's like,
he's there to have a laugh.
Yeah, he's they can't kill Kubar. Just, well, there's this Tokyo over there. Do that.
Yeah,
I'll watch.
Fucking destroy it. Who cares? It'll be fun.
He's sitting in his wings. All right, just fuck that up.
And
it's great.
Our heroes go to stop the three giant monsters. Kubar gets away. Genesis, I guess, fucks off. I don't know what he does. But meanwhile, Azald has been running around Earth trying to find Narya and Kubar. He is none the wiser of anything going on, even though there's giant monsters fighting, like, not even 100 feet away.
Azald's not a bright guy.
No, he also doesn't have eyes, so I gotta cut him some slack.
That's true.
But he comes upon Bard, and Bard is collecting cubes.
Yes, he is. For the greater good, I imagine.
I imagine he's gonna, like, have a giant robot in the next episode.
That's pretty cool, or soon at least.
Yeah, and Azald's like, let's fucking fight, because that's what I do. Because
that's all he knows.
It's all he's known his whole life, man.
Yeah. This episode is fantastic. I love Georgia, and I love the whole final arc that Sentai does, where it bucks the trend and starts getting crazy. So I'm very much looking forward to the next few episodes.
I don't think it's ever going to get as crazy as Jew Rangers and... When a very special guest shows up.
The chubby kid that plays Kai?
No.
The devil?
Yes.
Yes!
Satan himself shows up.
I remember the episode where Bandora had, like, she has to pray for 72 hours and her eyes start bleeding and she goes blind and fucking Satan appears and is like, I'll kill the G-Rangers for you.
It was like a fucking, like, Tim and Eric skit of, like, a children's show.
It's like, yeah, it's like if someone was parodying Power Rangers, it was like, ooh, what if Rita Repulsa summoned the devil? Here it is, kids.
Except that's the real show.
Yeah.
I can just imagine children being like, Daisuujin, please kill Satan.
They, you know, and he did. He does.
He does. He kills Satan. These are spoilers, I guess.
I don't know.
It is a show from like 25 years ago.
Go watch G-Ranger. It's mostly pretty bog standard, but when it shines, it shines bright.
Dude, I wouldn't say it's bog standard though, because the characters are so fucking enjoyable.
Yeah, it does have good characters. The arc with Burai is fantastic. Everything with Burai is great.
Oh yeah, it absolutely is. As much as I made fun of him during the show, any episode that focuses on Dan is always a riot.
Dan was my number one favorite.
Dan was your favorite. Geki was my favorite. Mostly on the strength of him being a huge badass, but also the whole Burai arc.
Yeah, everything
was
about
excellent
the,
for
was
him.
Fantastic.
Also, Goshi is really fucking awesome.
Goshi was funny. I like the episode where there's like a ball that you eat and it makes you fall in love with the next thing you see. And Goshi falls in love with a scooter. That's G-Ranger in a nutshell.
I love that show. Anyway, back to G-Oger.
Back to G-Oger.
This episode was excellent for a lot of reasons. Pretty high up on that list is the fact that nothing is actually resolved in this episode whatsoever.
Not quite, no.
Like, Narya is still held captive. Fucking
Kuwa doesn't get his... still...
Yeah, I was listening. I was listening it, you dick.
Okay, I wanted to interrupt you.
Well, you did. Congratulations.
Okay, good.
God, you have a small dick. Anyway, Misao is, like, chained up, and Nari is chained up. Kubar doesn't get his fucking revenge. Genis is still in control of everything, and the G-Oger save the city, I guess.
I guess that's the one thread that gets wrapped up.
And next episode, we get to see G-Oberto fight
Shit's
against...
Shit's gonna get crazy.
Azald. Azald is gonna, like... Is he gonna stay loyal to Genis, or is he gonna, like, I don't know what's gonna happen, because next episode, like, fucking Kubar fights the G-Ogers.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting.
I don't know what's happening.
That's gonna be interesting.
All these changing fucking loyalties.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to see.
I just love the show, man.
Yeah, it's so good.
I'm gonna miss it. I really am.
Me too.
The next Super Sentai actually looks pretty cool, though.
It looks fucking sick.
Can't wait to see what Gold is like.
Anyways, last week, Kamen Rider Drive Saga, Kamen Rider Heart, and Kamen Rider Maha got subbed. Did you check it out this week?
I checked out 57 minutes of it.
So you saw two-thirds. You saw the bulk of it.
I saw two-thirds, yes.
Jeff could not finish the Mach half for... pretty good reasons, actually.
Not because it was bad. I just started watching it too late today, so...
You?
although it wasn't so good.
It wasn't so... What did you think of the heart half? Let's start with that. I did not like the heart half one fucking bit, but...
I feel like the heart half was reaching for a lot of the highs that were hit in the series... and failing horribly every time. It was like whoever wrote Drive gave this like a script idea to like his little brother, and his little brother was like, "I can write it too,"
and he can.
Also, like... there's a part in the middle where, not in the middle, like near the beginning, where it just becomes this weird like gravure.
Oh, with him in the bathtub.
Like, from the bathtub bit to the point where Hart transforms the first time, or he starts fighting the first time, there's all these, like, fucking, like, if it was a girl, it would have been panty shots.
Yeah.
Of Hart. Just, like, super close-ups of him, and, like, everybody's talking about how handsome he is, and there's, like, light music playing. And I was like, is this Kamen Rider, or am I supposed to be whacking it? I don't understand what's happening right now.
This is classic real-world influence influencing a story. The popularity and, like, hotness of a character is influencing this story. And it's one of the weakest points in this, I think, is it's so full of slapstick and so full of comedy that any serious moments it has are completely undermined.
There's a really good serious moment, though, when, spoilers, Hart dies again.
Again.
And he and Gen have, like, a little scene together there. That was probably the best part in the movie.
It's the only part that doesn't fuck itself.
Exactly, and I thought it was going to. There was a moment when, like, after he says goodbye to Hart or whatever, he's still talking to Hart. And just, like, the empty Roidmude body is there. And I was 100% certain he was going to look around and say something to the body and then double-take and flip out that it wasn't Hart anymore. Yeah. And I'm so glad it didn't happen. Because that would have just deflated the whole scene for me.
There's a bit... The one where it got me worst was when Gen decides to trust Hart and smash the... He's got that machine that stops him.
Yeah.
He says, okay, I'll trust you, Hart. I'll smash the thing. And it's supposed to be a big triumphant scene, but he flails around like he has fucking... Like a fucking moron while he's smashing it, because he's, ooh, it's Gen. Why did everyone like Gen? Because he flailed around and made silly faces, right? Everyone loved Onari. And it ruins the whole scene. It ruins the entire scene.
He wasn't as bad as Onari.
He wasn't... He's in this movie, he's Onari light. He's Onari if Onari wasn't quite as bad.
I guess when you say Onari light, you mean like if it was poison light.
like just a watered down arsenic.
Like a little bit of poison.
Yeah. That's Gen.
I guess I can agree with that in this anyway. I love Gen in Drive.
Yeah, he's much better in the show.
Gen works in the show because he's used sparingly. But he's like a main character in this.
Watch Gen and Drive. He's much more than a comedy relief. He's like a skeptic. He's a serious cop. He's by the book. He just happens to end up the butt of some jokes because he's wrong about everything. Because he's so logical. In this one, he's just a constant flipping around and being a dick 100% of the time. And I hate him. I hate him so much.
There's a lot of this like triumph of the human spirit stuff, which. I don't know, I read this one thing, I forget who wrote it, this article about the insecurity of human beings, where we write these fantastical worlds that are full of these like fantasy beings that have all these cool powers and shit, or from these like crazy imaginary worlds and whatever, and then we just continuously write about how great humans are in it and how much better we are than these fake characters.
Yep.
And how insecure does that make us seem?
I don't know, it's because humans are the best.
And there's a whole lot of that in this, where it's just humans are the best because they're humans.
Because they got heart.
And Gen's like, yeah, I've got, because of this, and he, like, taps his heart, and I'm like, isn't Hart, like, a giant Hart?
He's Hart.
He is Hart. He is the being Hart.
It's right there in the name.
And, the costume was fucking terrible. All the costumes were terrible.
There is one costume that is a combination of Drive's first three forms.
And still looks course, better than Technic.
Still looks better than Technic, but it is intentionally bad, so I'll give it a pass.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be designed well. I do like the Hart, like Kamen Rider Hart suit. I know.
Really?
Put my head on a chopping block. I liked it.
Liam, are you. Is this a prank?
No.
Are
I'm
you
not.
Gonna wait like 10 minutes and tell me you're joking, please?
Ashton Kutcher's gonna jump out. No, it was. I like the suit.
With the giant fucking clown nose on the front of it?
I didn't see it as a clown nose. I like the horns. I like the sort of like
it's
robe
terrible.
That it
it's
has.
It's terrible.
You're terrible.
Be that as it may, the suit is also terrible.
Okay, well.
I hate
let's
it.
Let's just agree to disagree on this one.
No,
okay?
You have to change your mind.
Let's just
the
agree,
way I think.
Let's just agree that Jeff is a giant wank stain, and we'll move on.
Wank stain?
Yeah, wank stain, I said it.
I guess I'll allow it.
just this once.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's, I feel bad for Go, because all Go wants is his friend back, and, the writers won't allow it.
Nope. This probably could have been...
Unless that happened in the last 23 minutes or so. I don't know.
No, it does not. This could have been a Chaser movie, or like a movie where Chaser comes back, if Chaser was more popular than Hart, but apparently not.
Well, Chaser already had his thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It could have been a buddy movie with him and Mock, but no.
Mm, unfortunate. Hart's sexy, so he gets to do it.
Speaking of Mock, there was a second half to this movie, Kamen Rider Mock. It was...
I saw about 15 minutes of it.
I loved it.
Really?
I mean, it was so... I got... How do I say this? Because it was bad in a lot of ways, but it gave me kind of a Kuga Agito vibe, where it's like someone's been strangled with their own hair. It's a really weird crime. There must be something supernatural involved. There's police shit. Mox does some investigating. He ends up on the wrong side of the law. Well, maybe not that shit's not really Kuga Agito, but like the amount of police shit that goes on and the amount of not transformation that happens. Like,
yeah, I watched 15 minutes of... How long is it? Like 30, 40?
It's like 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, I watched 15 minutes of it and there were no monsters, nobody transformed, there was no footage of anyone wearing a suit.
Yep, that's because that's another way. It's like Kuga and Agito, there's one fight right at the end.
Which I'm fine with.
All the rest is police shit.
I don't know what the hell happened past the point when Go and Keiko fell down a fucking mountain.
They fell... Wait, is it...
They rolled down the hill.
Right, and Go is on the wrong side of the law?
Yeah.
Okay, Go is on the wrong side of the law. Keiko turns out that her dad, the dude who was in every Drive spinoff ever...
Yeah.
If you remember that guy, he is an AI controlling an empty Roid Mute who's, like, using mind control to control the daughters of these people to kill them, and framing Keiko for them to drag her into it.
That's really dumb.
So Go, yeah, that's why I say I liked it, but it had some stupid shit in it. So Go goes to confront the Roid Mute in a big final battle, and the cop that Chase based himself on gives Go a super drive car, shift car, that turns him into...
Why does he have that?
Because go fuck yourself, alright? Because does you it fucking explain suck. It? I think he gets it because the special crimes unit is still around, right? And they're still working with the cops, so I think that's where he gets it.
So he just delivers it.
He just delivers
it. I thought he just fucking had it at his house. He was like,
He sees the mock driver and he's like, wait a second.
My Hot Wheels car will fit into that.
He takes out an old pizza box in the back of his room. No, he gets it from I almost said from CR. He gets it from the mystery team from the Tenkuji Temple. They give it to him. And he throws it to... he throws it to Mach, and he becomes yet another, like, chaser combo form. And there's a big fight, and Mach gets his fucking neck broken. He gets hung by human hair. And he gets killed. He dies in this movie. But then he falls down, and he's okay. And then he gets up and fights. It's the ending sort of falls apart. You gotta watch it, Jeff. You gotta watch it.
Yeah, up until he falls and he's fine, I was like, you're shitting me. This didn't he didn't die again. This is like four times.
Yeah, Mach's catching up. I think he's number one for deaths now.
No. Number one for deaths is still Ghost.
Ghost has three. No, Ghost dies in a movie. He's got four.
Mm-hmm.
I think he died in this movie. He's got... I'm gonna say four.
I don't know. Dude fucking dies a lot.
I only saw the trailer for the movie and it really looked like he died, but I don't know.
Dude dies more often than fucking Jean Grey.
That's a comic books joke.
It's also exactly not true. Jean Grey's died like eight times.
Who's died a lot? Captain America? How many times has he died?
He's died once.
Once? Just once? Yeah. Superman only been it once.
Superman only died once.
It's gotta be someone. Deadman?
Deadman's only died once. He's been dead the whole time.
Motherfuck!
He's is there ghost. Anyone...
Thor?
I don't know. I guess Thor died once.
The Flash?
Which Flash?
The Flash.
They're all The Flash. Barry Allen died once.
Okay, my point is a lot of people die. Everyone
Everybody
dies
comes back
a lot
in comics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone dies a lot. That's the human story.
That's if there was a book about the entirety of the human race, that would be the title.
Everyone dies a lot.
Everyone dies a lot by Liam Soji. Hell, even Drive bit it once before the end of his show.
Absolutely. Yeah.
it happens.
Fucking so, the heart part I didn't like.
No, me neither.
The little bit I saw of the mock part I liked.
I liked the mock part up until the end where it got weird. Like it's not vague. He gets hanged. He gets hanged with human hair, and while he's choking and trying to pull himself out of the hair, and the monster grabs his leg and yanks it down, and you hear a sickening like, and then the girl pulls him down, and she's like, "Oh my god, go! Oh my god!" And goes like, "I'm all right, and I'm gonna keep fighting." And you're like, "Well, hang on, excuse me."
And his head's flopping around all loose.
Slow down a second. There's no magic bullshit or anything, no techno fuckery. He just gets up.
Techno fuckery?
Well, that's how Drive came back, right? It was techno fuckery. They shot the cars really fast and he came back.
I don't know. I still don't understand what happened then, but whatever.
They jumped his engine.
They started his engine,
yeah.
Fucking Go had a personality again that wasn't just, "I'm angry."
Yeah, Go doing shit, that's fine. It was a pretty cheesy romance, but I'll take it.
I was also, I had a lot of problems with the girl being named Keiko.
Why?
Because that's Chief Petty Officer Miles O'Brien's wife's name in Keiko. Star Trek.
How many times is Jeff going to mention Star Trek before I snap and kill everybody in the room?
Thankfully, we're not in the same fucking country, I guess.
You're breaking kayfabe. Yeah. Yeah, slap yourself, fucker. I could tell what he was doing because we're in the same room.
There's nothing funny about that. That's just what happened. Do you have any final words about this film?
Yes, you should watch it, if only for the mock half, which is I think there's value in the mock half just because of how different it is. And also that it has the balls to do an overt romance, which Kamen Rider doesn't do very often.
No, it was so overt.
It's you don't, you, they kiss at the end. You didn't see that part, Jeff, but they do kiss. They're in love at the end. So, yeah.
Girls have cooties.
Yeah, dude, Drive is full of it. Drive, fucking Shinosuke and Kiriko get married.
Yeah, there's like a breastfeeding scene in this movie.
Yeah, with little Eiji. Why don't they just, like, jam a screwdriver into little Eiji's eye? They know the trouble he's gonna cause.
Liam, did you just ask me why they didn't shove a screwdriver into a baby's eye?
Well, I mean, if you put it that way, it makes me sound like a prick, but yeah. Yeah, I did.
I feel like you could answer your own question there with no problem.
But no, it's a... Shinosuke and Kiriko get married. Mach kisses this daughter of a murderer. Gen and Rina are engaged in this movie.
He's a daughter of a murderer.
Well, okay, yeah, they're both daughters of murderers. Gen and Rina are engaged in this movie, overtly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of romance in Drive. They like to do that.
The fire has burnt out in their romance at the beginning of this movie.
See that? That could have been such a great subplot!
Yeah.
Fuck this film!
Instead it just gets solved, I guess, at the end?
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever.
Fuck that whole half. That hard half was shoot. It sucked.
It was shoot. It was gosh darn shoot.
Don't tell my mom I said that.
I don't give a heck. I'll say it again.
Gasp. Jeff, do we have any emails?
Yeah, we do. We have another email from Runtz.
Okay.
I will point out that Runtz sent this before the episode had come out.
Okay.
Hi, it's Runtz again. Just thought I'd send you a new email since it's almost Sunday, and almost Sunday means almost superhero time.
Damn straight.
The preview for Juojo episode 41 had me really hyped for the whole week. It seems like Kubar is finally getting ready to stab Genis. I still call him that. Kubar is finally getting ready to stab Genis right in the back. But my question is, why is Azald standing next to Kubar? Well, we know the answer to that now.
We figured it out. We're from the future.
Ooh. I mean, if Kubar is betraying Genis, wouldn't Azald naturally be on Genis' side? But he was standing next to Kubar instead of Genis. Also, Genis with their wings spread was way too beautiful. Such an angel.
Pretty cool.
Here's some information about Graphite from X-Aid. the tokusatsu fans in Korea are doing this huge bet for Graphite's death. It goes like this. One, guess an episode that they think Graphite will die in. Okay. Two, choose what you can do, either drawing or writing. The person who wins the bet will receive a prize of being able to request tokusatsu fan art and fanfics from the other participants.
Oh my god.
Now this is amazing because they're... Also, I bet this episode.
Okay, brilliant.
Now this is amazing because there are like 60 people involved in this. And that means holy you get shit. 60 pieces of art if you win.
Holy shit.
Also, if there's no winner, we will all draw or write a piece about Graphite to celebrate his survival. But he seems like the type to die.
Okay, did you... Does this person... Does Roots mention how they voted?
No.
Oh,
I'd love to know if they voted for this episode. That'd be so fucking great. Well, if he does survive, that's also real cool, because then it means the biggest collaboration project in Korean tokusatsu fandom history will be held for just one character, Graphite.
That's pretty crazy. Do Kamen Rider Knight next.
No. This is where the question comes in. What episode would you bet on? I bet on this episode.
Yeah, I'm gonna say probably episode 43. He seems like a survivor. Like Graphite. He's a tough one.
I'll take that bet, sir. Oh, they do say what they bet for. I bet on episode 21, but Graphite's like already almost dying on the episode 10 preview, so I'm really nervous about that. No, Graphite, you can't die just yet.
Better start firing up that easy paint tool, Sai. You got some fan art to make.
P.S. I drew a lot of Hanaya this week, so I'm going to share. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4 photos that this time you're going to add to the fucking post.
Yes, give me the link.
Because you didn't last. It's in the email. Just go there.
I don't go to the email, okay?
Just
so far.
Go there, you dumb dumb.
I don't want to walk all the way down to the email.
Our next question is from Timeline. He says, hey guys. Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
Say, hey, how's it going?
Now that we have catalog scans for most of X-Age showing no sign of new forms for Laser, do you think Kyria is going to kick the bucket sometime soon? And if not, do you think anyone's going to die this season? Oh, Graphite is.
How did you know? You just go making wild predictions like that.
Just a hunch.
I'm so sorry, Roots.
We're just joking. We're just playing.
I could see Kyria or Snipe dying, but I could also very much see Kyria just being the writer who's kind of shit for the whole show. And he would get the obligatory, oh, you're not shit, Kyria, you have the unique skill that no one else has. You can bike.
You could be a motorcycle.
Yeah, Brave can't do that, even though he's level 63 and can blow up worlds now, but he can't be a motorcycle like you. You're special. I could see that too, so I don't know.
I do foresee that. If I have to say one thing, it's probably going to happen to him. I foresee a lot of, like, no, Kyria, you're still useful because you're a motorcycle.
Could you imagine if Kyria turned evil because he felt underappreciated? I want that. I want that in an arc.
Oh, and then he became a bugster.
Where he's just like, he could turn into like a Snipe type, where he's like, you guys are all assholes, I'm just gonna turn against you. And, cause you're clearly all pricks and you don't appreciate me.
Well, he's right.
I'm the only rider that needs to be righted around here.
They are a bunch of pricks.
Well, that's true, that's sort of the premise of X-Aid, is everyone's a dick, but if Kyria actually acted on it and did something crazy, I'd love that.
I think Kyria is going to die.
Okay, I don't think he's gonna die.
I will bet you 60 fan arts.
You know what? I'll bet you 1 fan art. How about that?
You're not an artist, though. What are you going to give me?
I'll do my fucking best.
Look, your best ain't good enough, motherfucker.
Okay, fine. All right, fine. I'll bet you all your gishats.
I only have one.
Well, I only have one, too, so...
I have Geki Tatsu robots.
I got a Tattle Quest.
Lucky.
Lucky. What happens if you use a level 2 Gishan without a level 1? Or rather, a level 3 Gishan without a level 2? Do you die, or...?
Well, the thing is, Geki Tatsu robots has sound effects for being used as a regular Gishan, like a level 1.
Does it have a different, like, a different jingle?
Yeah, it has, like, the level 1 jingle when you just press the button.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like the when you just press the button, then you have to, if you press one of the little buttons on the side, the, like, one on the, you press the left button.
The one that's not meant to be pressed, yeah.
Yeah, it'll do, like, the gachet noise, like you're putting it in for, actually, hold on a second, I'll do it right here live for everybody. That's what it does when you press the button. And then when you press the little button, it does, like, the level one sounds. Like, check it.
Yeah. Kaminida. Yeah.
And then if you press the other button while holding down that button, it does the sounds for level two, or level three, I mean.
Yeah. Wait. Wait a second. That's for level two. Level three is a different song. Level three is the one where it says "Geki Totsu Panchi."
It's made for level one and level two. Like, it's made for a different rider to use.
What the fuck?
Isn't that crazy?
That's an attention to detail that I would not expect from Bandai.
I'll be the Geki Totsu Robots rider. I'm fine with that shit.
You're wasting this level 3 Gashat on your wimpy level 2.
Suck it. I don't have a belt. Yeah, I also don't have a level 2 Gashat, so...
I'm strongly considering getting a gamer driver.
Dude, it might be a good investment, because I love my double driver.
I think I'm going to wait a little longer, see if the show stays good. But I mean,
yeah,
I have...
Yeah, that's true. I would hate to get an item from a show, and then it turn out to be shit later.
Yeah, but I've never regretted a driver purchase. I don't regret my Sengoku driver. I don't regret my V-Buckle. I love them.
So many drivers.
I got a lot of drivers, yeah.
Two.
Like, well, no, I got the rider system from Kabuto as well.
Yeah, that's true. You have a Gatak Zector, right?
I got Gatak and Kabuto, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't you give me Gatak?
No. Gatak cost me $200 because I'm an idiot.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not giving that away to no one.
That is all of our fucking emails for this week. So thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Thanks for listening. If you want to shoot us an email, if you'd like to be included on the podcast to tell about all your crazy adventures, you can email us at riderclubradio@gmail.com.
Or if you love great fucking tweets from at least one handsome guy, then you can follow us on Twitter at Rider Club Radio. You'll have to deal with Liam's terrible ugly person tweets, but every now and then you'll get, actually most of the time, you'll get handsome Jeff tweets.
They're really good ugly person tweets, okay?
They don't know what either of us look like, so no one knows that we're both fucking butt ugly hideous monsters.
Let's keep the illusion going for as long as possible.
Everybody knows that we're the most handsome men.
You can get some good retweets. If you tweet something at us that's funny, we'll retweet it. And
if you tweet something at us that's not funny, then we'll ignore it.
Get some hot memes, whatever we're feeling that day.
No, none of that.
Hot rider memes.
None of that.
What's
Liam
your favorite,
might.
What's your favorite rider meme, Jeff?
My favorite rider meme is the one where I put a gun in your fucking mouth, pull the trigger.
Yeah, straight out of Blade. I loved it. I love it.
That's my favorite Blade meme. Liam might post memes on there, so if you like memes...
Look, I like memes, but I'm like six levels of irony deep, so it's okay.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
There's nothing okay. Like, I fucking love murdering people, but I do it ironically, okay.
It's okay, officer. I did it ironically. Okay, you're free to go.
Yeah. If you can prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that you murdered someone ironically, you get away with it.
Can you imagine that? You're sticking the knife and it's just like, oh, look at me, I'm killing someone. Oh, I'm so cool.
Well, I'm like a murderer or something. Stab, stab, stab.
Oh, God, I've lived too long. I gotta get out of here. I said I quit. I'm quitting. I'm leaving the building.
You're leaving life?
No, I mean, I'm putting in my 2 weeks to RCR Corp.
Oh, well, you have to do two more episodes then.
Shit.
You should have chose your words more carefully.
That's, yeah, I gotta give them 2 weeks' notice. I can't just screw them. So,
no.
I guess I'll be back next week. See you, everyone.
See you next week for the next to last Liam episode, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.